talking about some unpleasant things and some hopeful things next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principal Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
I'm really glad to be back with you here in my studio and you in yours. Again, we're coming to you by the magic of Skype. And this is our show for Saturday, the 9th of February. So there's our timestamp. And as I'm sitting here, it's in the 50s and very foggy here in Licking County. I don't know what it's looking like.
And by the time everybody hears this, they're going to be wishing it were still in the 50s.
That's right, because I think Friday night we're scheduled here for 12 degrees.
That's what I'm hearing. So welcome to a Midwestern winter.
That's right. Woohoo! If you don't like it, move further south or further north and where it doesn't get warm.
Yeah. Now, I wonder, are there support groups for thermometers? Because with all of this, you know, uncertainty and running hither, thither, and yon, up and down, you'd think that they'd be a little stressed out. So maybe they need a support group.
Well, since they're inanimate objects, the only support they get is with a screw in the side of your house so you can go out and look at it or aim it, one of those ones you can aim. Now, I have an electronic one, a battery-operated, the sensor outside. I have a thing indoors, and it actually gives me either the indoor temperature or the outdoor, depending. And all can be had for like under $20. So you can't beat that with a stick.
And if you did, you have to go out and spend another
$20. You'd have to go out and buy and spend another $20, yeah. So I usually go over to Tractor Supply and pick that stuff up because it's right there. The farmers and the small acreage farmers like me, who sometimes has a plot in the summer. We didn't do it this last summer, but we may this summer. I was too busy doing other things. Again, it's Ohio. If you don't like the weather, wait a day or two, and it'll be completely different.
That's right.
And our prayers for those who are going to get flooded, it's inevitable. When the ground gets this frozen, then we get this much rain and had anywhere between, you know, in central Ohio, 6 and 10 inches of snow, you're going to get flooding. So our prayers for those who are fighting back the waves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. But you know, Chuck, again, it's February. And yes, I know that the groundhog, well, whichever one, the original one, the Punxsutawney Phil, who obviously is not the original groundhog because he's probably pretty long dead.
The real the original Punxsutawney Phil is long gone.
Yeah. Ohio decided they'd try to compete with Pennsylvania. Regardless of which one you paid attention to, supposedly there was no shadow seen, so that means spring is right around the corner, Chuck. Only 6 weeks away.
Yeah, wishful thinking.
And we got spring weather. I mean, hey, that was last Saturday. Hey, we're in the 50s and 60s this week.
Yeah, to be followed by the 10s and 20s and 30s. So
yes,
it's wintertime here. That's the way it works.
That is the way it works.
Where is Buckeye Chuck's in Marion, isn't he?
I think so, yes. Don't quote me on that, though, because I don't really know for sure.
Yeah, why bother? I mean, Punxsutawney Phil gets the job done. I guess it's just a way to... there's my daughter, by the way. I just was... Since we're preparing to talk about an issue, I was looking at my Facebook page, and my daughter put something up on my timeline, and it says, Boris and Natasha say Russia collusion fake news work of moose and squirrel. It's a sign someplace. Somebody's got the sign up. Work of moose and squirrel. So there you go. When I was in college, I took Russian in college as my language. And you know how whenever you take a language, they got to give you a name. And my name in Russian was Boris because there is no such thing as Chuck in Russian because there's no sound. The closest you get is an ah or an but there's no So the closest you could get would be chook because there is an oo sound. There's a long u. But I'm assigned Boris. Well, I signed all my papers when I turned them in. They knew exactly who it was. Boris Badenov was the name I signed all my papers with. And I was a little older student when I was in college, and my teacher was an approximate contemporary. And he would laugh every time I'd turn a paper in. Boris Badenov.
You know, the sad part about it is, though, Chuck, today there'd be a lot of people who wouldn't get the joke.
Yeah, wouldn't get the joke. And I'd always say, get the moose and squirrel.
Get the moose and squirrel.
Yeah, so right. If you don't know what we're talking about, folks, it's Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Rocky. One of the ultimate classics of animation.
It really was.
Yes, the Rocky and Bullwinkle show. With Natasha and Boris Badenov as their antagonists.
Okay, do you remember where they were? Just as a trivia question, do you remember where they were located?
I want to say Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan.
No. Frostbite Falls, Minnesota.
Frostbite Falls, Minnesota. That's
and now, right. Do you remember what the name of the university in town was?
Miskatonic U, wasn't
no.
it?
What's a matter you?
What's a matter you?
That's what's right. a matter you?
Sorry, I'm getting the wrong genres. Miskatonic is in the H.P. Lovecraft stuff.
Yeah, so...
Which was definitely not Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Now, I don't know how... do you remember who Natasha and Boris's big boss was? And I gave you a hint. Who they answered to.
Oh, I can't even remember.
Mr. Big. Mr. Big had a scar and a monocle. And he would say, "You two idiots." Mr. Big. Now, it's hard to imagine why Boris and Natasha being interested in a moose named Bullwinkle, Bullwinkle J. Moose, and a squirrel named Rocket J. Squirrel is about as believable as Russia colluding in the 2016 election to get Donald Trump elected. So Mr. Big really didn't care. That being said, I suppose we ought to get to the topic that we're actually going to discuss today. Because
honestly, you kind of worked us right to it, Chuck. Because the one thing about Mr. Big in the Rocky and Bullwinkle cartoons was that you hardly ever saw Mr. Big or had an idea that there was a Mr. Big, unless you really, really watched every episode and you happened to catch the small handful that Mr. Big made an appearance on. I think that's very interesting because, you know, last week as we talked, we kind of left a teaser about something very important that was happening locally. And we're still trying to find out who Mr. Big is behind all this because we've got some culprits. We have some people identified as being part of the issue, but it really kind of getting down to, okay, where does the buck stop is where we're trying to get, you know, we and many others are trying to get to on this particular issue. Now, for those of you who didn't hear us last week, and we're sorry we didn't get to that, we ran out of time last week to get to this, we opened the program by basically saying that some of the things that we were going to talk about are going to be offensive. It is going to be shocking, and it is going to probably not sit well with people who have sensitive hearts and sensitive constitutions, because what we're going to be talking about is out-and-out child abuse. And so, fair warning that we're getting ready to delve into this subject right now, and it's not a pretty one. So, here we go. Chuck, we have a situation, actually very locally to our listeners in the WLRY listening area, because this happened in Lancaster. And you'll have to refresh me. I think you've got the information up in front of you. I don't hear on the date that this happened. But pretty much, well, actually, you've got it in front of you. Why don't you kind of fill in people on the background of what was going on, and then we'll kind of talk through the analysis.
Well, there was a quote-unquote performance. Now, I have a date on this that you posted it to me, to my timeline on January 31st. It was sometime in around the end of the January.
Okay, so yeah, so it was very recent, like within the last couple of weeks. As a matter of fact, I just now pulled up some of that material and some of the photos. Yes, there are photos, ladies and gentlemen. No, we are not posting these on our page. Thank you very much, because we're not going to be part and parcel to aiding and abetting child abuse. But there are photos, and the photo stamps are dated January the 26th.
Yeah, okay.
When the photos were posted. So sometime in that last week of January, before that last weekend before the last week of January, there is a local watering hole in Lancaster called J.D. Henderson's Bar. at J.D. Henderson's Bar, which probably the vast majority of our listeners have never probably been in and have never thought about attending. And, of course, maybe some of them have because maybe they serve, you know, dinners and things of that nature as well. Some places do that. But they decided that they were going to have a performance. I think that's the right word, right, Chuck? Performance.
I suppose, yeah.
Go ahead and run with it here. What were they doing, Chuck?
Well, what they were doing was having what they call a drag show. This seems to be kind of a semi-popular thing in bars. To have a drag show wherein men come in and they dress as women and they prance around and they sing songs and have all this their accoutrements padded out so they look like women and do their best to convince people that they are women. Now, the problem here in this case is that this is a child, that Miss Mayhem...
Yes.
Is nine years old.
Thank you. Okay, that's right, folks. Possibly 10 now. We don't know because the original article, and I guess we could post the link to this article from the Toledo Blade, because this young person is from the Toledo area. Now, yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. I said this happened in Lancaster, Ohio. But the performer, a nine-year-old child, whose name is Jacob Measley, basically a fourth grader. Let that sink in a minute. 9 years old in the fourth grade. Appeared at J.D. Henderson's bar in Lancaster, Ohio, at least a good 2.5 hours from his home, in a drag show.
Now, lest you think, it's not a big deal, if you saw the pictures of this drag show, he's wearing a blue sequin dress with a long reddish wig, full makeup. This is, again, a 9 or a 10-year-old male, and prancing around in this outfit. Taking $1 tips from bar patrons. Now, I just noticed this, Barry. I'm looking at the film. There's another drag person in this. But I'm looking at the film. There's another kid in the audience.
Wow.
There's another child about 8 years old, I guess, 8 or 9, in the audience. Everybody's laughing it up and ha ha ha, but I can tell you this, I'm looking at the films, and every time the camera comes over, there's some kind of uncomfortable looking people who look like they might not want to be on camera.
Or uncomfortable in the fact of what is going on here and what have we walked into?
Yes. And, you know, I've known people that go to these drag shows, they say, oh, they're very entertaining and blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, I'm going to give you the reason why you probably shouldn't patronize those, and this is it. This is the logical endpoint of the logic behind drag shows. Because if gender confusion is on the menu up front, how far behind can pedophilia be?
Well, you know, as soon as you would say that, of course, the defenders of this type of practice,
they say one has nothing to do with the other.
That,
yeah,
you're stereotyping, and you know, your mind's in the gutter, and that's just not what this is about. This is all about people's artistic expression, Chuck. You know that artistic expression. Yes, it's an artistic expression for a nine-year-old boy to dress up in women's clothing and wigs and makeup and dance. From what we have been told from people who were there or saw this video, in a very provocative and or sexualized manner.
I would say so, yes.
And receive tips directly from patrons of the bar, similar to what a stripper gets when working a pole.
Well, let me...
But our minds are in the gutter, and that's artistic. When the child was there until the bar closed... at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Right. So. Watching a boy in a girl's skirt do a flip and a do the splits on stage is just a little too disturbing. Mm-hmm. Now, what's sad is that the patrons in the bar didn't immediately say, this must stop. And no one called the police and said, hey, look, this is child exploitation run amok here. Because that's exactly what it is. Now, the child apparently, we're trying to gather information still on this thing, and it has gone radio silent. There was a big stink about it, and then there wasn't. I know that the powers that be in Lancaster are doing everything they can to stuff a sock in the mouths of people who are talking about this. The mayor down there, what's his name? It's Schleffer?
David Schleffer.
Schleffer. Yeah. He's like, well, I really don't, you know, he basically came out in support of this whole mess. Now, lest you, I'm going to come right out and just do a mini segue and say that, folks, many times on here we've said it's not about just one party or another. David Schleffer is a Republican.
Yes.
And was, you know, he's one of those people who probably said the right things to assuage the fears of conservative Republicans and got himself elected. And here's what you get. And we talked about a couple weeks ago. Here's what you get when you don't ask the right questions and sort of ignore the answers to the questions you do ask when they make you feel a little disturbed. You get guys like David Schleffer as your mayor. Now, I would venture to say that there were several Democrats who probably would have been as shocked as we are over this. People say this is no big deal. There are pictures of this kid in all kinds of extremely provocative outfits. And remember, this is a 9 or a 10-year-old boy.
Well, there are pictures of this kid in many of those outfits because his mother has put up a website for him.
Yeah.
To book appearances. Yes, that's right. His mother is the one who's taking him around to bars 2.5 hours away from his home and keeping there till 1 o'clock in the morning, dressed in drag, getting tips from people in bars. And, you know, I'm not trying to be too sensationalistic about it, Chuck. That's just exactly what the facts are. Now, we've heard through, there's a Facebook page. It's called The City of Lancaster, Ohio. It is not an official page for the city. It is a page of someone who is basically a watchdog against the city in corruption. You know, a public service person who basically is calling out politicians and others left and right, and who called this out, and who called it out very strongly because Mayor David Schleffer basically has turned a blind eye to it. He's used the defense line that the bar owners are using, that, well, this was just supposed to be, you know, a regular performance, and we didn't know the kid was going to be at, well, there's a picture. For those of you, and I'm trying to build this out here, Chuck, and be careful with it.
Right.
But Melissa Akeson, who many of you may know, she ran for the Republican nomination for the United States Senate seat in 2018. Very libertarian, great lady, didn't have a prayer because the whole race was Jim Renacci and Bob Gibbons. She did very well, and she went around. She spoke to a lot of people. She's a mother. Her husband, I think, is in the military. She's got a great background. Well, she found out about this through this City of Lancaster website, because I guess the person who runs this website was someone who had heard her speak, and you know, she had it linked. Their Facebook were linked. You know, he or she is watching her Facebook, and she gets feeds from their Facebook. Well, when it came up that the City of Lancaster Facebook page put this up along with some of the photos that they had received from the event, Melissa Atkinson's head blew up. She, you know, it's like that whole thing where the top of your head comes flying off because of the pressure.
Yes.
she could not believe what she saw, and so she started reaching out to people. Now, one of the first people she reached out to was Diane Stover at Ohio Values Voters up in Parma. And for interest of full disclosure, I am now the lobbyist for Ohio Value Voters as of January. And we're working on this and other issues regarding protecting children from obscenity and from, what's basically child exploitation, Chuck. And so this fits right in with what we're doing. So we are trying to work with this and work with Melissa, who's really taken point on this. And, you know, she has put an incredible full report. If you want to go over, we can link to it from Ohio Values Voters website where that's up. And she basically said that, okay, she received notification via the Facebook posting of a minor child performing in scantily clad women's or girls' clothing for adult men and women. The photographs of the incident, along with the original article, feature a small child dancing for adult men and women in what appeared to be a bar while wearing a pink leotard with black fringe trim, fishnet stockings, a woman's wig, high heel booties, and full makeup. So that's how that started. And so she started calling around, called the mayor, she's called the law director of the city of Lancaster, she's called the county prosecutor's office, and so far there's been a less than enthusiastic response from any of them. Because, again, the mayor basically took the line that, you know, it was a private performance and da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, okay, stop, stop, stop. If this is a bar that has a liquor license, having an underage person in there, because as you said, when you saw some of these photos, there wasn't just an underage child performing, there was an underage child in the audience, which means a patron. Whether they served that young person or not really is not the key issue. The key issue is, should the J.D. Henderson's bar have their liquor license revoked for allowing this to go on? Were they complicit? They say they didn't know this child was going to be in there. However, there are promotional materials, posters that were put out by the management company that puts on these drag shows in bars around the state of Ohio. It's run by somebody who lives in Lancaster, from what I understand, Chuck. It's very, very troubling. And I'm pulling up here if I can find that individual's name, because it's something else. But they have a... some reason my system doesn't seem to want to let that report come up.
What else is new? Okay. Of course, you need it and it won't work now.
And of course, when you need it, it doesn't work. It doesn't want to come up for you. Okay, well, anyhow, okay,
is this,
there it
is
comes.
This the
okay.
report?
Now we're talking.
Is this the report out of Value Voters?
Yeah, this is Melissa's report about what she saw, and why she started looking at this. You know, basically, after this City of Lancaster, Ohio Facebook page posted this and gave the description, there were an awful lot of citizens in Lancaster who started commenting, and they were calling the mayor and authority, and basically they were getting zip from them. And by the way, this took place in December, not in January.
Right. This article from Atkinson says it was in December of 18.
Yes. So basically, they had this whole situation, and she goes into detail on what the performance, involved, because there was a video. You talked about the video, Chuck. And so basically, this is... it's even hard for me to talk about.
Right.
It makes me want to scream, it makes me want to yell at somebody, and it makes me want to cry all at the same time. We've come to find, of course, then they've called, but the mayor is turning a deaf ear, and then we find out a reason why. Because the mayor has participated in LGBTQ, blah, 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 the mixed up alphabet, have participated in their parades, in the pride parades, as an announcer and a supporter. So he's obviously not going to create animosity toward people who he thinks supports him politically. i.e. a drag queen management company that's run out of his city, the folks who just, the bar owners who decided that this was good entertainment. Honestly, Chuck, if I went into an establishment and I saw a poster that said that they were going to have a drag show, I'd be turning around and walking right back out and not patronizing that business ever. So, because that's not entertainment, it's mental illness being exalted. That's what drag performances are, folks. You know, it is not rational, logical, clear-headed thinking for a man to put on women's clothing and makeup and fake breasts and the whole night and paint themselves up and dance around and sing in falsetto and act.
Okay, here's the important part that I'm reading this article real quick from that Akison has written. Here is an important part of this. In one of these videos, the person who essentially introduced Miss Mayhem was another drag queen named Jasmine Onyx.
It's Jasmine Labasha
Onyx.
Miss
Oh, yes.
Onyx is the organization. That's the name of the management company.
Yeah. Daniel Cull
is the guy who owns the thing.
Now, he has come out and said, Mr. Cull, here's a quote. Mr. Cull also publicly let everyone know that Miss Mayhem's mother works for Child Protective Services and they were in the clear to do what they were doing. It was at
you heard that right, ladies and gentlemen. The woman who's dragging her 9-year-old son all over the state and dressing him in girls and women's clothing and putting makeup on him and getting him to dance for patrons for money is a Child Protective Services worker.
Mr. Cole and other drag queens and gay men on the page continued to defend the situation, reminding the public that this little boy is very popular and has been featured in the Toledo Blade and other newspapers celebrating his life as a child drag queen. And I have to agree with that. I've read the article in The Blade, and it is very, very positive. Local 9-year-old performs as drag queen Miss Mayhem, and there is a video of Miss Mayhem performing, and here's what it says in the caption. Jacob Measley is the child's name, has atypical flair for performing as Miss Mayhem. Well, is that a negative review? It certainly isn't. The Blade says that he's getting ready to start fourth grade. He's tried his hand at baseball, gymnastics, theater, and dance. He's also the textbook middle child, always seeking attention in the spotlight. But these typical characteristics also come together to make Jacob something uniquely atypical. Miss Mayhem, a drag queen who performs in shows around Toledo. Miss Mayhem has performed in various shows around Toledo, and she'll take the stage this weekend at Toledo's Pride Festival for her second run at the event. Okay, Barry. And somehow, probably through a connection that we don't know about, with the support of the Lancaster mayor, ended up in Lancaster. Now, what has happened as a backlash? The bar has apologized. The company, Miss Onyx, has apologized. Why are they apologizing? Well, obviously because they got caught.
Absolutely.
The bar claims they didn't really understand what they were getting. I doubt this very seriously. I really doubt that. I think they knew exactly what they were getting. Why else?
Well, if you read farther down into the record that Melissa Atkinson has written on this, that's on the website of iValue Voters, which we'll link to. She talks about how she contacted, the Lancaster city officials, the police, the prosecutor. She gets to the assistant law director, for the city. And basically was told that says, well, I, you know, that the person she talked to, who was female, was disturbed and even thought the video was creepy, but she didn't believe any laws had been broken. So Melissa walked her through, and this is on a phone call, through the Ohio Revised Code regarding obscenity and sex offenses, and asked her if she'd ever seen the video circulating. And so Melissa forwarded all this information she had, the videos, the statements, everything she had, and sent it to this assistant law director, who basically warned her that the mayor was her boss and isn't, and when she, I guess, is not at all comfortable with how he's handling the situation. So she's basically telling her, yeah, I can look through this stuff, but my boss is the mayor and he'll shut you down. But here's the kicker. Melissa says, I explained to the assistant law director, I'm not going to use her name, that the owner of the bar reached out to me via Facebook and had also reached out to another gentleman helping to gather information and engage the Lancaster residents who want action in regard to the night. I warned the assistant law director that the owner was scared to death but gave three names to the other researcher of men she suspects of being involved with pedophilia who were at the bar while this 9-year-old boy in drag was dancing. And Melissa goes on, she says she was very inconsistent, this is she, the bar owner, was very inconsistent with her story that ranged from not knowing about the underage boy at all, then asking if the cops were going to bust all the clubs he dances at in Athens, Ohio, to saying she did know about the boy but couldn't tell his age in flyers because he looked like a woman, etc., etc., etc. In other words, this bar owner story is changing faster than our weather.
Yeah, well, in the same communication, apparently.
In the same communication.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, not like multiple communications, but in the same phone call. Yeah, now, see, there you go. He's dancing in bars in Athens. And apparently lives in the Toledo area, although we don't know that for sure. But apparently it's A-OK up until... knowing what we know about some of the things that have gone up in Toledo, if you remember the strip club laws that got passed by the Dancers for Democracy, if you'll recall.
Yeah, I remember that. Yes.
Remember Dancers for Democracy?
I was just slightly involved in that.
Yes. Just a little.
Just a little bit.
And basically a bunch of strippers came out and were unhappy that they would no longer be able to strip in the way they had in the past. Although it didn't seem to matter much in Columbus when Stormy Daniels was here and a judge threw the charges out because...
And that's the reason why I have a little concern about what's going on here.
Exactly.
Is that the Columbus City Law Director has set a bit of a precedent here because that law, even though that wouldn't be applied to here because it applies to nudity performances, you know, strippers.
Okay, the city
prosecutor said that he wasn't going to prosecute it at all. He was not even going to enforce it in the city of Columbus. And the judge basically agreed and said, well, because the individuals were not regular employees of the club or the bar, that it didn't apply to them. And that may be what they're going to try to get out from under with this J.D. Henderson thing is, well, this was a man, you know, this was a just a one-time performance that came in and, you know, we had no control over it. So, you know, you can't assess us any difficulty because of it.
Oh, okay. Read down to page 4, Barry. This thing gets...
I'm reading it. Yep.
You reading the update?
Yep.
Yeah. On January 31st, 2019, received a Facebook message and immediate follow-up phone call from Jeff Gaff mm-hmm. with the Ohio Republican Liberty Caucus as he was working alongside Ohio Value Voters President Diane Stover, myself, and Tom Wayland. As we coordinated efforts after simple internet research and already knowing Miss Mayhem's father is a registered sex offender for charges associated to a minor child. It was should I use this person's name or are we going to let him read it on the...
Yeah, let him read this.
Yeah, it was revealed that this person is also the point person for a youth group catering to LGBTQ children ages 12 to 19 titled Love the Skin You're In. And is advertised on a Toledo community website. It's a Toledo.com. We'll have to post this thing alongside the... But the, This person is literally listed as the contact for this particular activity, and this group is associated to a larger organization called Harvey House. Many of the defenders of this person are listed as being involved with foster care organizations. That should scare you to death, folks. Charitable organizations.
This whole paragraph is just frightening.
Yeah, charitable organizations associated to children. The mother claims to have worked or work now for Child Protective Services, and they all defend anything they are questioned about under the guise of the public's homophobia and lack of acceptance for art and self-expression. Again, information has been passed to the Toledo Police, the Lancaster Police, the Centers for Missing and Exploited Children. They've passed information to media contacts and have reached back out to the prosecutor in Lancaster with updated documentation. So somebody's not going to sleep. Folks, you're in. If you're listening to this radio station, you're in the Lancaster listening area. Because this radio station's in Rushville, which is about an inch and a half from Lancaster. So you can hear this signal. If you're listening, you should be on the horn. If you're a Lancaster resident or even a Fairfield County resident, you should be on the horn to the prosecutor, to the mayor's office, to the city council, asking why this is being allowed in the city of Lancaster. And in fact, if you live a little further south, like maybe Athens County, you should be doing the same thing, because sometimes I'm not sure if WLRY signal gets down that far or not. It may. And if it does, then you should be doing the same thing. This is even worse than I was aware of when we started this broadcast.
Absolutely. It just keeps getting more twisted and deeper and more twisted and deeper. It's just sad.
Yeah, I mean, the bar knew enough about the patrons in the bar to turn them in as pedophiles? All I can say is, wow. And what you're hearing from the local media is nothing. Well, except here. And I'm sure that threats will be issued, which is... You know, hey, folks, it's not the radio station. It's us. We're the ones telling you this. All WLRY is doing is acting as the vehicle. And they fully disclaim this program, which is fine. Because we do touch on touchy and ugly subjects like this. Not that we like it. We hate the fact that we have to do it. But we do have to do it.
Yeah, we do have to do it. I'm sorry to say it. And there are links to the phone numbers and emails for the city prosecutor and law director of the city of Lancaster, who are going to have to be the ones that, if any charges are brought, it has to go, since the facility, the bar, sits in the city limits, it will be the city prosecutor that will have to be the first line of prosecution. So that's where the calls need to go. And, of course, there's a link right in the middle of the page there for high value voters. And, you know, we can set that up there. You can link right to, you know, you can link through our links on our website, or you can just go over to a high value voters website yourself and look at it. It's right there on the main page. So it's just really something. It's just takes your breath away when you understand the extent. Now, of course, it's been, I can't find it now, but there was a response from the mayor of Lancaster on this particular issue that I now am not seeing anymore. So very interesting to see that they've taken down their response, or it has been blocked or put behind a wall or something, in order to, I guess, deflect a lot of the commentary.
Well, it was a...
Now, Okay, there's an awful lot of comments. The original post on the City of Lancaster, Ohio's Facebook page has almost 500 comments on it and over 1,000 shares of people just basically... And again, it's concerning people both in the city and who don't live in the city. Because, as we found out, Miss Mayhem, this poor 9-year-old horribly identity confused young person whose mother is actually engaging in child abuse and child endangerment.
Yes.
Is being hauled not just to Lancaster, but obviously, if the bar owners believe, clubs in Athens, Toledo. Who knows how far these individuals will go for their, what do they call it, Chuck? Their art and self-expression.
Art. Yeah, art and self-expression. Okay, look. The mayor first attempted to dismiss this whole thing, especially the city of Lancaster, Ohio, website, as a satire site. It is not a satire site.
It is not a satire site.
It is a commentary site. Yes. There's a big difference between satire and commentary, although satire can be a commentary, but not necessarily vice versa.
It acts as a public watchdog function.
Yeah. Now, I've gone out to that website, and it's not real active. I mean,
no.
There's all kinds of things out there, but it's not overly active. But they do run commentary on what's going on in the city. And the fact that there are, on that thing you pointed out, 479 comments and 1,006 shares on this means that it has stirred up some controversy. Now, the mayor...
Okay, do you want to know how much controversy it's really stirred up? Let me tell you how much controversy it's really stirred up, because I've got a little piece here that I think you're going to find very interesting. Let me pull it up here, because this is something you don't have. This is an email... Yes, from Diane Stover, who is her husband John is the president of Ohio Value Voters, and she started it and formed it. They put their they posted this up through their Facebook page. Chuck, 243,000 people saw it. 161,600 people downloaded and viewed the video. And it had 94,400 engagements. And engagements means you shared the post or liked it or did something. You know, you commented on it. They posted this on February the 2nd, Chuck. It's now today. It's February the 6th. 243,000 people have seen this on Ohio Value Voters Facebook page.
Wow.
This, you know, they show the engagement reactions, 8,890 comments, 8,665 comments.
Okay, Barry, one of the problems you're going to run into is the problem that you run into with the media. And you know what the problem is? They don't know how to handle the story without, quote-unquote, offending LGBTQ community.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the answer is you can't run it without offending them. So worrying about it. Run the story. Okay. What's more important, stopping a child from being exploited by pedophiles or offending the LGBTQ community?
Well, obviously for Mayor Scheffler, it's offending the LGBTQ community.
Well, look, that's part of the reason he got his job. Sad to say. They were part of the coalition that got him in office. And he's going to play it out until he can't play it out anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how else to put it. As we pointed out 2 weeks ago, and we talked about last week, this is part of a judgment, and if we do nothing, it confirms that judgment. You know, it all it does is. You say, God, yeah, I made the right decision, which he already knows he did. But to put it in human terms, it just illustrates the fact that God was absolutely correct in his judgment. And the fact is that 2 weeks ago we talked about the fact that when you don't ask the right questions or you're too embarrassed to ask the right questions because you'll get beat up as a bigot or someone who hates freedom of expression or any of these grotesque, logically fallacious name-calling exercises that appeal to your emotion rather than your logic, then, hey, You get what you deserve, and apparently Lancaster deserves Mayor Scheffler.
So I think they should be thinking, and I know that there was rumblings going around about the potential of a recall. Well, I don't know when Mayor Scheffler ran for office the last time, but I'm going to be sure that this time around, I'm sure that there are going to be a lot of people who are going to be thinking twice before supporting, endorsing, or voting for this gentleman.
I would hope so.
You would hope.
It's amazing. But, you know, we had other things in the news that we were going to cover, and we got about maybe 12 or 13 more minutes. So,
well, and we're going to cover some of it because it's fairly simple. You know, switching gears here, and yeah, we needed to talk about that because people need to know what's happening basically in their own backyard there, Chuck.
Yeah, exactly.
But, okay, so what's happening on the national front? Well, if you were paying attention Tuesday or Wednesday, you heard about it. If you didn't pay attention, well, we'll tell you now. The President of the United States, Donald Trump.
If you've been living in a cave.
you may have been on a mission trip. You may have been in the hospital. You may have been somewhere where you just, you know, maybe your phone hit the ground in this, fell into a water puddle here during all this rain and shorted out, and you didn't have your phone to look at. But the President of the United States, Donald Trump, addressed a joint session of Congress and all of the various others, including Supreme Court members, etc., with the exception of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who didn't show up for this either. Funny, Chuck, and a little segue real quick, but Ruth Bader Ginsburg did go out in public here recently, even though for the last 2 weeks she's been unable to fulfill her duties on the court and showing up for the court's deliberations.
Well,
but she was able to go out and go to a special performance of a play that featured her daughter-in-law.
Right.
And was about her. Now, very interesting, I think the National Constitution Center put this on. They refused to allow anybody to photograph anything of the performance, which means no photographs of what Ruth Bader Ginsburg looks like right now, or had to check, you know, or that you could, you know, look at to analyze, okay, is this woman, you know, getting better, as they say, or is she on the edge of death? Very interesting. She can go out to a performance, you know, in her honor, but she can't seem to make it to either the State of the Union address or to sessions of the Supreme Court.
Well, she didn't come to last year's State of the Union either. I mean, it's essentially it's as close to a statement as a Supreme Court justice can make.
Well, that's true.
But even so,
you know, everybody's still on the count of how soon is it before Ruth Bader Ginsburg can no longer keep up the facade, and Donald Trump will be nominating another justice for the United States.
Yeah, I mean, look, it doesn't take a genius to say that'll probably happen, because even if you and I are not, neither one of us are gambling men, unless we're, you know, you're talking about maybe playing a board game where no money changes hands. Everybody gambles a little bit, but the fact is, it's not much of a bet. You know, we do not want her to see her pass away. Nobody wants to see anyone pass away, especially in an unsafe state. We should be praying that in her twilight years that Ruth Bader Ginsburg comes to a knowledge and a faith in Jesus Christ, and that we not pray in a precatory prayer that it would come sooner than later, because that's not the right thing to do in this case. There are cases where it's okay to pray in a precatory prayer. I don't think this is one of them. But the fact is that it's not much of a bet that she's 85 years old. She's had she's now had 3 cancer treatments. One, I think, for ovarian cancer, if I'm not mistaken, the other one for pancreatic cancer. And Barry, let me tell you something. I don't know how she pulled out of a pancreatic cancer. The survival rate on pancreatic is extremely low. Exceedingly low. But now she's got metastatic. Well, she has metastatic ovarian cancer in her lungs.
Oh my.
Yeah, it's it doesn't matter how small the nodules were. You know, they're making a big deal. It's small nodules. The clock is ticking on the end. But again, she's 85 years old. So, yeah, my mom's 86, and we always say, how much longer has mom got? And we think mom's part poodle, and so she'll last quite a while. No, her family has extreme longevity. I have no idea about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, what her, you know, her genetic longevity picture is. You know, my mom has aunts that lived into their early hundreds, early hundreds and late 90s. So, you know, she could be around a long time. So could Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Again, if you were a betting man or woman, you probably, the odds are not particularly long on Donald Trump getting to pick a replacement.
No, that's right. So last night he addressed the addressed Congress with his State of the Union address. So, you know, it was very great to see this, because this was the thing, you know, that during the government shutdown, Nancy Pelosi was denying access to the House floor, to the House chambers, for the president to give this address. Well, you know, they created a temporary deal that stretches through the 15th, which is just long enough to get to the point of having the address, only a week later than it was originally scheduled. Chuck, it was scheduled for January the 29th. Happened on February the 5th. So the president got to address, and it was a long address. It was over an hour, 20-plus minutes. I basically watched it through a live feed off of the Internet. I was very impressed by some of the things he said. I was less impressed by some of the others. You know, he made a statement regarding life issues, talking about pain capable and things of that nature. Obviously not quite dialed into some of the advances that we're trying to do with heartbeat and others, but that's all right. I mean, basically for Congress to get the pain capable and get it actually passed would actually be a step in the right direction.
Well, it's kind of the difference between the state level and the federal level. This federal is supposed to lead, and now they're following.
Right. Exactly. So you've got that all going on. But you know, the thing is that you watched during the thing, and he talked about, you know, the advances women had made, and of course the Democrat Women's Caucus were sitting there, the House Democrat Women's Caucus, because the Senate women Democrats didn't do this, but the House Democratic women, all dressed in white suits, pantsuits, you know, skirt suits, whatever, all of them in white. Well, that is supposed to be making a statement, Chuck.
It is. It's a throwback to the suffragettes.
Well, of course it is. But honestly, it really didn't go over too well, because, you know, Trump figured out a way, and because he's good at this, let's just be honest about it, he's good at this, he figured out a way to say things in his speech that actually had them get up and clap for him. When he talked about the advancements women had made, what are they going to do? Sit there with their arms folded across their chest in stony silence, glaring at him? Oh, wait, no, wait a minute. That was Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez when he was talking about protecting or honoring. They were honoring a deputy or a border patrol agent who was responsible for taking down a number of what they call coyotes. Coyotes are people who smuggle people for the sex trade.
Well, not just for the sex trade, but
for forced labor, basically for human trafficking.
Human, yeah, it's get people over the border as
right.
They take money to sneak people past the places where there is no wall.
Yes. So they were honoring this individual because in doing this job, he had taken down a record number of these perpetrators. Well, people were clapping to that because, you know, I think he also he'd gotten wounded and he had to have a number of surgeries, you know, in the line of this duty. And so it's kind of hard not to, you know, at least do a, you know, okay, I'll stand up and I'll clap even though I'm not feeling it. But not for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who actually did sit there while everybody else stood up around her and clapped for this individual who sacrificed their health and their well-being to protect others. And she sat there with her arms crossed with this look on her face looking at Trump. There's a screenshot of that, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's making the rounds today. So, you know, he found ways of basically getting under the Democrat skin. And it must have been an utter nightmare for Nancy Pelosi, because as he's giving the speech, as the Speaker of the House, she sets up behind him with the Vice President. And while the cameras are on him, they're also on her. So she had a real hard time last night not keeping a lot of things off of her face. It was very interesting. I know you said you were trying to watch some of it, just incredible to watch, you know, that Nancy just really, she would get up and clap Trump, and she'd point her hands like at his head and clap, you know, in a weird sort of way.
Well,
like
she was
in a weird way, like she was being sarcastic and giving him applause.
What was going on there was the fact that was an orchestrated applause move, because last year, if you'll recall, the Democrats made complete fools of themselves during the State of the Union address. Complete fools of themselves, mm-hmm. with the smirking and the arrogant sort of smug looks on the face and all that. I all but guarantee you that the Democrats have internal polling telling them, cool that stuff. You're creating a worse, you're making a bad situation worse. You're not helping yourselves. Now, you might make the argument, yeah, they retook the House. Yeah, they did. And there are a number of reasons for that. One of which is the fact that, and we talked about this in last November, one of the reasons they retook the House was because the Republicans have been such a pack of cowards about supporting the president in his agenda, and people are like, I'm not voting for you. A lot of the people in fence-sitting districts are like, you know, I'm with Trump and you're not, therefore you're out. Or they just stayed home and said, I'm not voting. Because there's nobody to vote for.
Yeah,
I'm not voting
true.
For you, and I'm not voting for the Democrats. So, adios.
Well, and here's the other thing, Chuck. There was a little snapshot thing that was taken. You know, of course, while this is going on, the various news, the media agencies try to bend all over themselves to try to, like, spin it so that, you know, they can make what they want to say. Well, CBS News was taking a poll during the speech to see who did and didn't approve the speech. Well, it was overwhelming. It was like overall 74% approved and 26% disapproved. Okay? That's huge. That's a 3-1 margin, pretty much. When they broke it down, this is where the Democrats ought to be holding their head in their hand saying, he's going to kick our rear ends in 2020. When you break it down by party affiliation, the approval of what President Trump said in his speech, obviously Republicans is huge. 97%, Chuck. So I guess that maybe Mitt Romney got on his cell phone while he was sitting in the chamber and called the CBS News poll and said, I don't like it. Maybe John Kasich called him up and said, I don't like it. But 97% of Republicans approved.
Yep.
30% of Democrats, which, honestly, that's a high number.
I was going to say, that seems
for a
rather high.
Republican president that you've been spending all your time as the Democratic Party demagoguing and blaming him for every bad thing that is going your way. For him to get 30% approval from rank-and-file Democrats, that should cause them to start feeling a little uncomfortable.
Yep.
But what should cause them to start grabbing their hair in big clumps and handfuls and yanking it out and moaning, woe is me, and start looking for the nearest sackcloth distributor? 82% of independents approved of what Donald Trump was saying.
Yeah, that's a bad thing for Democrats. Okay, I have to
break. That is a monstrously bad thing if you're a Democrat, because that is your winning margin right there.
Exactly.
Independents have always... coaxing independents to vote Democrat has always been the way you've won elections.
Got to break in. We're out of time.
We're out of time.
We're completely way out of time. That being said, you know what we think. We want to know what you think. www.principledpolicy.com. That's principledpolicy.com.